This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. So you've got that 15 minutes of fame Andy Warhol said you had coming to you. What do you do now?
The brain is a muscle, in a sense. It tires after a certain amount of time focusing on something. And that amount of time is somewhere 15 to 20 minutes for most people. And certainly on the internet, the chances of a 30-minute video going viral are reasonably remote. A few of them can, but it's not prime time.
Today, yeah, that's right, it's up to 18 minutes, and it's not called fame anymore. It's a TED Talk. Perhaps the best way to address a global audience these days is to give a TED Talk. That's the man behind TED. We'll talk to him later this hour. Thousands have given TED Talks. Millions and millions of people have watched them. But don't expect to pitch your clever business plan here. No, no, no. Later this hour, the man behind TED will talk about his passionate belief in the power of earnest, intelligent ideas to bring hope to the world through better public speaking. That's right. We can all yearn for better public speaking, but it's too late for the Indiana primary. 57 Republican delegates in a basically winner-take-all contest. It's 83 proportional delegates in play for Democrats. This is a test of the campaign ground games, not candidate eloquence, though. Every trick comes out now. We saw one from Ted Cruz picking his running mate, Carly Fiorina, early to boost a bid, slipping behind Donald Trump's juggernaut. It recalls the 1976 race and the bitter nominating contest that played out between incumbent President Gerald Ford and his insurgent challenger, Ronald Reagan. Trivia question. Who did Ronald Reagan run with in 1976?
Since I now feel that the people and the delegates have a right to know in advance of the convention who a nominee's vice presidential choice would be, I am today departing from tradition and announcing my selection. I have chosen the distinguished United States Senator from Pennsylvania, the Honorable Richard Schweiker. I'm convinced that this is a ticket behind which all Republicans can unite and which will lead our party to victory in November.
Well, of course, that didn't happen. And Democrat Jimmy Carter was the one to throw Gerald Ford out of the White House in November of 1976. Republican activist Frank Donatelli was a Reagan campaigner back in 76, and he says that the Ted Cruz, Carly Fiorina running mate gambit is flashy, but risky if Fiorina doesn't want to turn out to be a trivia question of her own in the future.
I think the real downside of the selection is not her necessarily, but it does remove a card that Cruz could have played at a brokered convention. Obviously, both Governor Kasich and Senator Marco Rubio, who is no longer in the race, have blocks of delegates that you would think you would need to get if you were ever to get to the 1237 mark. And so obviously now you cannot offer the vice presidency to one of those individuals.
Frank Donatelli is the former deputy chairman of the Republican National Committee and head of GOPAC, the GOP's candidate recruiting and farm system. He says Indiana is a solid conservative state that can break the rules.
Indiana is clearly the most conservative of the big Midwestern industrial states. It's got a lot of the South in it. There's a lot of rural areas, very religious, and so generally speaking, it's a conservative territory and may be ripe for Ted Cruz's message.
But why are the polls showing that Donald Trump is doing so well?
John, if I knew that, and if I could have predicted this, no one's, I think, predicted the rise of Mr. Trump. He continues to do very well. He's got a very interesting mixture of messages. It's part populist, part nationalist, part appeal to a segment of Republicans that are very suspicious about the changes that our country is going through. And so far, that's trumped basic, no pun intended, basic ideology, which Ted Cruz continues to emphasize.
And looking at the state, rural and urban, is it the same in both places? Do you attract similar voters and similar dissatisfaction with the status quo in Indianapolis as you do in Evansville?
Well, I think the dissatisfaction is across the board. America is in a very skeptical mood this year about politicians and about the status quo. So it's hard to find voter groups that think that things aren't headed in the wrong direction. That being said, Indiana is similar to other states. The rural areas tend to be the most socially conservative, and they tend to be places where Mr. Trump does the best. And it's the suburbs and the close-in cities where people like Mr. Cruz and some of the candidates that are no longer in the race have done better. We'll see if Cruz can bring out some of their social conservatism in the rural areas to try to blunt Mr. Trump's margins.
If we look back to 1976, when you were very involved with the Reagan campaign, Reagan was the insurgent back then, right?
Right.
And, I mean, he was an establishment, you know, governor of California, but still, did Indiana voters vote for Ronald Reagan because of his ideology or because of a broad dissatisfaction with Gerald Ford and a sense that by the time we got to the Indiana primary, there was a lot of momentum going for Ronald Reagan?
Reagan was the insurgent 40 years ago, and to that limited extent, he is similar to where Donald Trump is right now. On the other hand, you know, as you point out, Reagan was governor of the largest state in the Union for 8 years, and so he was hardly an outsider in that sense. Nevertheless, he represented a challenge to the status quo, obviously, which was embodied by the incumbent president, President Ford. Reagan was doing well in Indiana. I don't know that he would have won the primary that year, but for the fact that 3 days prior to Indiana's voting, Reagan won a smashing victory in Texas. He won an overwhelming victory and won all of the delegates. And that had a tremendous impact, I think, on the voting in Indiana. And so Reagan won a very, very close primary vote 3 days later.
We can speculate about whether it's going to be a brokered convention or a first ballot victory for Donald Trump, but it's only speculation at this point. One thing that's not speculation, though, is 1976's success and failure for Ronald Reagan set him up for victory in 1980. Wouldn't you agree?
Reagan's rise from defeat in 1976 to nomination and then subsequent election in 1980 really is the exception rather than the rule. There is no other example in modern American political history that occurs to me where someone loses the nomination and then comes back 4 years later to be elected president. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying that it's a very, very difficult path to follow if what you're saying is if Cruz were to lose this time, he might come back in 4 years. You know, he might, but it would be a very long and torturous road. My advice would be do whatever you can to try to win this time.
What about the possibility that Trump would come back in 4 years and defeat an incumbent Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think that's very unlikely, and I think he would say that if he were on this program right now. I mean, I think he's all in this time, and whether or not he would ever have the patience to hang around for 4 years and build bridges and do what it took to get a second nomination, I just think based on his personality and what he has been saying, that's very unlikely.
So what do you think his chances are?
In the primary?
In the general.
The American electorate is changing, and I think a successful Republican nominee has to be able to appeal to a broad cross-section of voters. It's not enough just to get the white middle class anymore. You have to get a reasonable share of the non-white vote. You got to do well among women. And most importantly, you have to break into at least some states that, let's say, Mitt Romney didn't win. Just look at the states Mitt Romney won and then ask yourself, what additional states would Donald Trump have to win in order to get to 270 electoral votes? And he'd have to win a number of them. So is that possible? Yes, primarily because Hillary Clinton is such an incredibly weak candidate. A reasonable right-of-center Republican would beat her this year. This is a race. It's going to be a race between two flawed candidates. I think you're going to see, you know, a pretty negative campaign. But in a year when the president is marginally popular, basically the same positive rating as negative rating, and a very weak Democratic candidate, you'd have to say that any Republican that was nominated would have a good chance.
Frank Donatelli, thanks so much.
Okay, John, great to talk to you.
Frank Donatelli is a former deputy chairman of the RNC and assistant to President Ronald Reagan for political affairs. So who else has a tough choice today in the state of Indiana? How about the people who believe John Kasich can stop Hillary Clinton in November and is the centrist alternative to Donald Trump for the Republican nomination? We turn to James Brainerd, mayor of Carmel, Indiana. He's co-chair for Governor John Kasich's Indiana campaign. Mayor, welcome to The Takeaway.
Well, it's great to be here on The Takeaway.
Now, why would anyone want to vote for John Kasich at this point?
Well, I think there's still a lot of people that believe he's the candidate who can beat the Democrat, either of the Democrat contenders, in the fall. He just picked up huge endorsement this week from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce because he talks about including people and work, regardless of where they're from, what their economic status is, how they're able to better themselves, how they're able to take part in the American dream and thrive and prosper. And he talks about ideas. He doesn't talk about his opponents, and a lot of people like that.
Right, but I mean, at this point, there's a certain amount of Republican reality at work here. I mean, Pope Francis could probably beat Hillary Clinton in November, but he's not available.
Well, I think the goal for the Kasich campaign, well, the goal clearly is to get to an open convention, and which is why Governor Kasich chose not to spend resources in Indiana and focus on Oregon and New Mexico.
So, do you think that Kasich voters will vote for Ted Cruz to try to bring that convention about by denying delegates to Donald Trump? Or, you know, what's a Kasich voter to do?
I think some will vote for Senator Cruz and some will vote for Mr. Trump. I think the strategy is that there weren't a lot of options left. You know, it's important to recognize that Governor Kasich's been outspent about 50-1, and he's still in the race. He's worked hard at this, and a lot of people believe that he's the best candidate. And for those that do, they're smart people. I think they may see they'll understand at least the goal is to get to an open convention, see what happens on the second ballot.
Well, I think no one would deny that John Kasich gets the, you know, Energizer Bunny Award for intensity and staying with it. But at some point, you're going to have to look at what your pathway is to supporting Donald Trump if he's the nominee. Have you taken a close, hard look at that?
Well, I met Mr. Trump yesterday because he was in my city. I also met with Mrs. Cruz and Mrs. Farina. They were all there. Mr. Trump is very energized. He gave a good talk at the Palladium in Carmel, Indiana. About 1,600 people filled the hall. It's a concert hall. You know, and I think we all have to recognize there's a lot of rhetoric in a political campaign. And as one moves from the campaign phase to, say, if they're able to win, moves to the office of presidency, the rhetoric and tone is going to be very different.
So that's a coded way of saying that, Trump didn't freak you out too much, and I can see myself voting for him.
I certainly want the Republican candidate to win. I'd like to see the Republicans hold on to the Senate and the House. And I think it's important we have a strong lead on the ticket. And Mr. Trump said some things I do agree with yesterday. Some I would approach differently if I were in his shoes, but some of the things he said made a lot of sense.
James Brainerd is the mayor of Carmel, Indiana, a Kasich supporter and co-chair for Governor John Kasich's Indiana campaign. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.